County fairs and rodeos ain't a better place for my kids to grow. Just turn them loose in the western summertime.
Good morning, y'all.
And if you ever held your woman on summer's evening while the prairie moon was blazing in her eyes.
On a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning.
I live beneath these western skies.
Oh, man. Great big good morning. Thank you for tuning in. It's the start of your Saturday morning with Rosie on the house. We are your Arizona weekend wake-up call, and we have got a jam-packed show for you today. The headlines are we're going to be talking fitness here in this first hour with Dr. Michael Manning of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology Associates. We'll be talking fitness with Katie Stumbo, who will be doing a rim-to-rim-to-rim traverse and back of the Grand Canyon. But before we get started on that, in the 8 o'clock hour, we've got a bunch of landscaping gardening we're talking about. 9 o'clock's open hour for you to call about any project you have started around your house you want to help getting done. 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking about all the confusion that continues to rage at the foot of the topic of residential solar power. So stay tuned for that. SRP customers in particular have to stay in tune for that show. You never know what we mention on air that will just light up the phones and the internet the following week.
Well, last week was one of those weeks.
We had Dr. Lee Allison, the state geologist and director of the Arizona Geological Survey, talking about the earthquake swarms that we've been experiencing since March up in the far northwest corner of the state. And he said, those are a lot. We've had 50 or 60 of them. He said, but what people aren't talking about is the other area of the state around Duncan, Arizona, where we've had 300 of them. And so we were overwhelmed with inquiries about, does fracking have any causal effect to this surge of quakes?
And Dr. Allison had a resounding
no. He says, bottom line is that the Arizona quakes are not caused by fracking or wastewater injection, nor are they related to what's happening in Oklahoma. The Oklahoma quakes are from massive injection of wastewater deep underground. The water comes from oil wells that had been fracked. The Oklahoma earthquakes are occurring on faults adjacent to the wastewater injection wells. There's similar injection of wastewater around the country without similar quake activity. So this appears to be related to the very local seismic environment in that area. Massive fracking in Pennsylvania and North Dakota with no earthquake activity. There's no fracking in Arizona, no massive wastewater injection in Arizona, only a few oil wells up on the Navajo Reservation on the Utah border. They've been operating for decades with no earthquake activity ever being recorded. And then he concludes this email by saying, oh, by the way, the biggest earthquake in the swarm we were talking about occurred just yesterday at a 3.8 and was felt in Arizona and Nevada, and a 3.4 hit just this morning. So the quake activity in the far northwest of Arizona continues. It's an intriguing topic to me. But again, I am telling you all this because my curious mind takes me there, not because it foretells of any event y'all need to be afraid of. Although I have bought a cabin in Christopher Creek this past week that I will make Balboa Park.
In the event. But did you hear in the news this week that in California they're giving kind of this foreboding warning that the big one is near again? Because they've decided after looking, the geologists have seen that it could actually be a two-fault event.
It's a twofer.
A twofer. The San Andreas, of course, everybody knows, and the San Jacinto.
Okay.
So if they go together, which is now they think is possible, it could be really big.
Earthquake. Just an interesting topic we got off on last week that drove a lot of response in this past week. Hey, if you're tuned in and listening to us, you've got to know about a spring cleaning sale that's going on right now at Superlight Old Castle. It's at 4601 North 42nd Avenue. It's only one day, today. It started at 6 a.m., so you better like comb your hair, get out of your pajamas, get in the truck, and get down there. It only goes till noon. It's only today. It's only one location. And there are overstock and obsolete products that they are putting available to the public up to 80% off. Huge savings on the excess and obsolete. You've got to get over there and check it out. If you have any idea or plan for a hardscape in your backyard, get to Superlight Old Castle today. 4601 North 42nd Avenue in Phoenix. One day, one location, open till noon today. They send me pictures this morning of all the activity that was going on over there. Get in your truck and get over there now.
That's a bad thing about working on Saturdays.
Yeah, we can't get over there.
I know, right? Mike's on his way.
Put our dibs on it, yeah. All right, so with all that said, we've got the earthquake coverage. We've got the spring cleaning covered. Let's bring our guests in and talk today about another thing that I'm always constantly curious about, and that's health. We have Dr. Michael Manning, president and head physician for Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology Associates with two offices in Scottsdale and one in downtown Phoenix. Dr. Mike, I understand you just got in on a late flight from Dallas last night. Thanks for waking up early and dragging yourself down here.
Absolutely. Good morning. I'm used to that kind of stuff.
What kind of spring season are y'all seeing? You know, I suffer. When y'all did skin tests on me, they didn't know whether or not just to come in and bury me right then or try and cure me. And that was years and years and years ago. There isn't anything on the planet I'm not allergic to. But boy, I'm not suffering near this year like I did last spring.
Well, you're taking and you're doing things to help prevent your allergies. So, you know, this year's been, I think, an interesting year. The news always makes it that it's the worst allergy year ever, and that goes up and down. I never really believe all of that stuff. but this year was different. It warmed up quick, then it cooled down, then it warmed back up. We did have a lot of rain.
We never really froze here in the valley. I
correct.
Mean, we had one early freeze, like way back in November.
Correct. And then we had the rain in December, January. That feeds the springtime allergens. And when you look at the weather, you were talking or asking about that, the rain waters the desert. So the mountains around us right up here, everybody waters their grass and the trees and the golf courses. So that's fairly consistent. So it's the desert blooming that will vary from year to year. And it affects everybody differently. You're having a good year. We've had tons of people that are just suffering this year. So it just depends on you, what you're allergic to, what you're doing. But it was a fairly significant year, let's put it that way.
Seems like to me we could put our heads together, you and me, and we could come up with some kind of predicting metrics where we could take a look at the moisture up north above the rim, the waterfall in the spring and the winter here on the desert, and just kind of predict what kind of season we're going to get. Because what happens above the rim, I mean, I can be down here and be pretty comfortable. Then I go camping up, and I'm in a meadow of rabbit bush, and that's the worst stuff on the planet.
Yeah, rabbit bush is a ragweed cousin, so all those people who've moved out here from back east and they think about ragweed hay fever in August and September, you know, we have ragweed then in the fall, but we also get it in the spring, and that's the Franseria species or rabbit bush. And it depends on where you're at. So things pollinate at different times of the year here based on the seasons. As it warms up, if you're down here and you're doing well because it's now getting hot and the allergens are going down, you go up to the rim, they're still pollinating. Or people leave here in the summer and go back to Minnesota, they're going back for prime spring grass season. So they're doing great for allergists. They're just living in an allergic environment year-round.
Oh, mercy. We were camping not too long ago. I want to say it's about 3 or 4 years ago, and I had never seen a pine pollen drop like I had that year. It literally, it was like a yellow pollen of snow over everything, the cars, the ground, the tents. I had just never seen it like that before.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of things that are making it worse. Some of the pollen is very heavy and doesn't blow a lot. Certain weeds and trees will blow 200, 300, 400 miles. We have a lot of juniper pollen, mountain cedar that gets us here in the valley. And there's mountain cedar planted here, but most of it comes from the rim and blows down at us. Pine pollen's fairly heavy. Grass pollen, like Bermuda grass, is also fairly heavy. It doesn't blow a lot. So certain pollens have different characteristics. But if it's bad enough, you know, especially in the south where there's a lot of pines in Georgia, your cars will just be yellow during the spring months.
Well, I'd seen it. I couldn't remember ever seeing that in Arizona, but it certainly happened a few years ago. One of the things you always tell people this time of season, if you're particularly allergic prone, is to reduce your activity outside, right?
That's where the pollens are, is outside. So, you know, the simple things you can do, which is tough because it's one of the reasons we live here, especially early spring. It's beautiful. The weather's great. You want to be outside. But if you're really allergic to those allergens at that time, you want to close your windows. You want to run your air conditioner. You want to have a good filtration system. Take a shower after you've been outside, especially at night, and most importantly is to wash your hair, rinse your hair.
Not take that pollen to the pillow with
you? Not take the pollen to the pillow. France actually did a study, and they took women, and they rinsed their hair out at night with a specific amount of water, and then they analyzed it, and it was as accurate at counting the pollen as a pollen counter was. And I know women with long hair, getting it wet before bed is not the ideal thing, but it does help. Brush your pets at the door. They're pollen traps. They bring it inside.
Okay.
If you have a doggy door, you're kind of toast because you're not sitting there monitoring that. So there are some things you can do. It's imperfect because here pollen just gets in because it's so dry.
Very good. Dr. Mike Manning, my allergist from Allergy Asthma Immunology Associates right here in Scottsdale and Phoenix. We're going to come back with Katie Stumbo. She's preparing for a rim to rim to rim that I was supposed to join you on Memorial Day weekend, but thank goodness Carol graduates high school that weekend.